Thankful for Brother John David filling in at the last moment here for leading our songs this morning. We're grateful to him and the good job that he has done. Let me turn on my monitor up here so I can see what's going on behind me. And we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit this morning, as maybe you can see from the slides. And so we're going to be starting in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 23. Now, we've been looking at the various different fruit of the Spirit from these verses in Galatians chapter 5 and 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And this morning, we're going to be looking at goodness. And you know, goodness is something that's kind of hard to define in a way. But in another way, it's not hard to define because we have a standard for goodness. We'll be talking about that standard in a little bit. But let's remember, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about what it means to be spiritual. There's a lot of people out there in the world today who want to say something about being spiritual. And maybe as they talk about being spiritual, they have some ideas or concepts in mind that they consider to be spiritual, but they're not actually spiritual. Because those concepts and ideas originate from their own desires and their own thoughts. But when we talk about being spiritual, we're talking about ideas and concepts and desires that originate from God and specifically the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be spiritual. To let God's Spirit lead us and guide us. Goodness is one of those ideas, those concepts that the Spirit of God gives to us. And so goodness, like all of the fruit of the Spirit, is under our control. That is, in the sense that we can do something about it. I can be good. Just like I can love. I can rejoice. I can pursue peace. I can be long-suffering. I can be kind. I can be faithful. I can be gentle. I can have self-control. All of those things are things that I can do because God's Spirit has informed me on how to be good. Goodness. That's what we want to focus on this morning. And we think about what is goodness. Just the word as it's used in the New Testament and in the Bible, goodness is uprightness of heart, kindness, virtue, or beneficence. We know what good is when we see it. When we see a good deed, we say, now that's a good deed. And we can point to it and see it. But when we think about trying to define it, it may be a little more difficult. Goodness is a quality of God. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11 talks about God's goodness. It's also a quality of the Christian. Romans 15 and verse 14. But you know, man cannot define goodness. And that is something that man has tried to do over the ages. sought to replace God as the standard of good with some other standard that man has invented. Psalm 14 verses 1 through 2 tells us that without God, man cannot be good. And this is a quote from this psalm. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. And what is this saying? It's saying that if anyone does a good deed, they've done it because of God, because of who God is and what God has done. But if you take God out of the equation, if you say, as this character says here in this psalm, there is no God, then ultimately you are going to end up with a life that is corrupt. Because God is the source or standard of goodness. Man cannot define what is good. Only God can. Paul wrote, the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and 68 about God, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. God is good. And Romans 2 and verse 4 says that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God's goodness defines what is good. God is the source of good. Goodness comes from God's Spirit and informs our spirit through the Word of God. So let's think about goodness this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And first of all, we're going to notice that goodness originates in love. When we have love for others, that is going to produce goodness in our life. Think about the standard of goodness again, God. God is love, and His love brings good to others. 1 John 4 and verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says it like this, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so the standard of goodness is God. And God gives good things. And he does that, first of all, because he loves his creation. And you know, we need to love like God loves. God has given us the standard of love within his word, and now we look at that standard and read about it and study it and learn it, and we can now know what it means to love others. In Matthew chapter 22 and verses 39 through 40, there Jesus makes this point. He says, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His reply was simply this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. And He said, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, why would he say the second commandment is like unto it? Because the second commandment, love your neighbor, comes from the first commandment, which is love God. When you love God, you're going to know how to love your neighbor. God informs us how to love. And so we need to follow His love within our life. Romans 12, verses 9 through 19 is another great section of Scripture that talks about all the ways that we love one another. And when we think about these practical aspects of love, we recognize that God's plan for loving other people isn't just a plan without specifics. You know, it would be one thing if God said, just love each other, and left it up to us on how to love each other. We might have all kinds of opinions on that. We would. But He didn't. He gave us specifics on what it means to love. In Romans 12, He said, don't be a hypocrite. Don't love evil. Abhor evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Have brotherly love. Treat each other with honor. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Serve one another. Rejoice in the hope that you have. Be patient in the tribulation that you undergo. Be a prayerful people. Help the needs of one another. Be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Don't be haughty, but be humble. Don't be wise in your own opinions. Don't repay evil for evil. These are all very specific things that we can do to show love for others. And so God hasn't left us without direction on that point. Goodness comes from love, and love comes from God, and God teaches us how to love. And so when we practice love, we can do good. But then second, goodness cares about others. Goodness loves others, goodness cares about others. And again, this starts with God. God is the standard of goodness. He is good. He loves and He cares. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now think about this very practical illustration of God's care in Psalm 23 and verse 1 and following. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then what does the Lord do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Think about all the things the Lord does, and He shows His care for us. He cares for us. That's why He does these things. And we need to care for one another also. Think about what Jesus said in John 10, verses 11 and 13. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. The good shepherd cares about the sheep. He wants to take care of them. He wants to love them. He wants to provide for them. Caring about others is what it means to be good. And God cares. Now, goodness means that we care about others also. And what caring means is that we take notice of other people as people. All right? And there's a reason for that. This is found, this is based in these scriptures here in Genesis 1:27 and John 3:16. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're all made in the image of God. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son for every single person. Now think about that for a minute. When we talk about caring for other people, there's so many people in this world who will say, I'll take care of you because I'm going to get something out of it. I'll take care of you because I know that it'll come back on me. That's not really caring about other people. And as God's people, we've got to truly care about others. We care about them because of who they are. People made in the image of God. People for whom Christ died. That's what it means to care about someone else. So what do we see when we see other people? That's the question we need to ask ourselves when it comes to caring. Do we see someone made in the image of God for whom Christ died? Or do we see something else? Do we see a burden? Do we see a distraction? Do we see our own selves? What do we see when we see other people? Let's think about the parable of the Good Samaritan for a minute. You remember that priest and that Levite, when they saw that man lying on the road, they just walked on the other side. They didn't see him as a person. They didn't see him as someone made in the image of God, someone for whom Jesus Christ died. And so they just left him for dead. But the Samaritan did what? He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he sent him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. That's what it means to care for someone else. To see them as a real person that God made. So a person sees souls. And what that soul needs to grow and to flourish. That's what we've got to do with each other, and that's what we've got to do with other people. We've got to see the potential. We've got to see that they can be something greater than who they are because of who God made them. That's what God wants us to see. That's what it means to care for others. Now, our greatest need, everyone's greatest need in this world is Jesus. In Luke 10 and verse 24, there in this story about Mary and Martha, where Martha was in the kitchen working, and Mary was out listening to Jesus' teaching, and Martha came in and she said to Jesus, "Hey, tell Mary to come back here and help me in the kitchen." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're full of a lot of anxiety," is what he said. And then he said this, "One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." What was that one thing? that was needed. It was Jesus. Mary needed Jesus. Mary wanted Jesus. And Jesus was not going to take himself away from her because he saw her as a person who had spiritual needs. And he could provide for her spiritual needs. Now that's what every person needs more than anything else in this world. More than working in the kitchen. More than our daily bread. More than our houses and our cars and our lands. More than our families. More than anything that we value. We need Jesus. And when we're good, when we're good people, we will care about others and give them Jesus. Goodness gives to others. We talked about giving last week, so we won't rehash all of that. But just notice a few things. That first of all, God is the greatest giver. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James 1:17. God is the greatest giver, and he wants us to give like him. And when we're good like God, we will give. God gave everything. We just saw John 3:16. And we need to give. Now think about the parable of the talents for a moment. Remember that parable? In that parable, the Lord gave three servants some talents. Now, talents in that day were portions of money. He gave one 5 talents, another 2 talents, and then one talent. And when he came back, the one with 5 talents said, I made 5 more talents. He said, great. And the one who had 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Of course, then the one talent man said, I buried mine here. You can have it back. And the Lord was not very happy with that. Why? Because he didn't give of himself. He didn't try to take what he had and make something of it. That was the point of the parable of the talents. We need to give of ourselves to others. We need to give our time. We need to give our talent. We need to give our resources. Give yourself away. God is a giving God. And we need to be giving. And to be good means to give. If we are just living life for self, we are on the wrong path. Matthew 16, verses 25 through 26 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus asked these questions in Matthew 16, 25 through 26 because Peter had thought that carnal things were more important than spiritual things. And Jesus had to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan. You do not desire the things of God, but the things that are of men. Jesus knew that everything needed to be sacrificed. And he did. He made that sacrifice. We need to make sacrifices in our life also. Luke 12 and verse 21, at the end of the parable of the rich fool who had so much, and he said, well, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then God said, tonight your life will be required of you. And Jesus drew this application. He says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What good is it going to do him? Not a bit. Not a bit. Because he didn't give. Goodness gives. Goodness works for others. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalm 145 and verse 9. His works demonstrate his goodness. Psalm 92 and verse 4 says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands." God's works are good. And they're intended for our good. They're for the benefit of others. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other." God made the world so that we could live in it. That was a good thing that he did. And his work was for the benefit of others. How about our work? Do our works benefit others? Ephesians 4 and verse 28 has this basic principle in it. It says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." A good person is going to work so that he can provide for himself and so that he can provide for others. That's what a good person is going to do. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." That's good, because that pattern of behavior follows the pattern and example of God, who is good to us. And then finally, goodness sacrifices for others. Of course, God made the ultimate sacrifice when he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross. And Jesus said, John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And Jesus did that. He sacrificed himself. And God sacrificed his Son. And good people will make sacrifices for others. Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, "By that will," that is the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ, "we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." His sacrifice sanctifies us. And we need to make sacrifices for others. 1 John 3, or I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Are we serving like Jesus served? Are we laying down our life like he laid down his life? 1 John 3 and verse 16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Paul says, Romans 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13, verse 6. What does it mean to be good? Well, the short answer to that is that it means to be like God. To be good means to be like God. And when we're good, when we have goodness in our life, we're going to follow God's example. Let's remember that goodness originates in love, and God is love. That goodness cares about others, and God cares for us. That goodness gives, to others. And God gives. Goodness works for others. And God works. Goodness sacrifices for others. And God made the ultimate sacrifice. And how can we then follow these examples within our lives? We need to be more like God by being good. And that's something we must work at every single day. Do you have God in your life? You need Him. You need His goodness. You need the good things that He does. And you need His Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you need to become a Christian through hearing the Word of God and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can become a child of God, and goodness can begin in your life. You cannot be good without God. Oh, you may be able to do some good deed occasionally, but that doesn't define you. God defines you. You're made in His image. Jesus defines you. He died on the cross for you. Would you not give yourself to God? Why not become a Christian this very hour so that you can live for Him and be truly good as He is good? While together we stand and while we sing.